Is there something in your way? A battle you can't win? Do you struggle day to day with thoughts of giving in? There's no reason for despair. He has walked this way before. With compassion flowing free, he's there for you and me. That's what grace is for. Fades away, and your prayers are only words. Just reach out in faith and know he's already heard. He'll mend your wounded heart. Mercy's door, that's what grace is for.
When the answers just won't come, and your soul cannot be still, when it's all been said and done, trust in the Father's will. There's a multitude of sin covered by the blood that flows, blood that cleanses every stain so that none remain. That's what grace is for.
When all hope fades away, that's what grace is for.
Thank you for that. Let's stand briefly and turn to Malachi. Malachi, the last book of the Bible. If you're Italian, you could pronounce it Malachi, whatever. But it's Malachi, okay? If you get to Matthew, hang a left, and you will be right there. And we're going to look at the last two verses. The last two verses in the book of Malachi. It's Father's Day. We did a few extra special things, a few extra special testimonies that we typically don't have, so we're a little bit behind time, but I will be much shorter today. And so you listen fast, I'll talk fast, and it'll be good, and you can get to your Father's Day lunch. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 is what we're going to look at. Last two verses of the Old Testament say this: Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for this wonderful day. where we honor the fathers. I pray you'd bless our brief time this morning as we look at your word and encourage the fathers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the book, we're going to look in Luke in a minute, so keep your Bibles there. The book of Malachi in the Old Testament finishes with the prophecy of the end time Elijah turning the fathers to their children and vice versa in that day. That's an amazing insight as God looks at that, and especially when we look at the breakdown of today's modern family. And I'm not going to go into the end times or who Elijah is and all that. That's not the message for today. The point is, the fathers are kind of a big deal here. As he's talking about that end time, and there's a future Elijah that will come and prepare and all of that, he feels compelled to mention that one of the things, really the primary thing he mentions here that Elijah will do, is he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Fathers, I want to say this, you're important. You are a big deal. Now, we kind of put a little more emphasis and a little more push in Father's Day. We always put a big push into Mother's Day because mothers are phenomenal. Mothers, you are great. Mothers, you are everything. But let me say this. He didn't say Elijah's going to come and turn the hearts of the mothers to the children and the hearts of the children to the mothers. Now, I understand there seems to be a natural progression there, but the fathers are a big deal. I think the number one factor in how a child will turn out and how a family will turn out is not the mother. It's the father. Now, by the way, mothers can overcome. I grew up in a single parent family, and my dad was around. I did not see him very often, but I was raised by my mom, and I was not, you know my testimony, I was not the greatest kid in the world. I'll tell you one thing, although I was kind of a punk and all that stuff, and I didn't like school and any of those other things, I'll tell you one thing that really kept me from going off the deep end was my mom. My mom worked at it. But and so sometimes that has to happen, and I understand that, and God can do that. But I'll tell you what the best odds are, fathers have to be involved. I think our society has done much to push the father to the side. Okay, I don't watch them, but all the sitcoms, and I do study on and get cultural things I look at, television and movies, dad's always a nincompoop. Dad's always, and mom's kind of there doing the best she can, and the children are in charge. Can I just tell you something? All of that should be flipped. Children, and I say this with as much love in my heart as I can, you're the nincompoops. Mothers are spot on doing the best they can. Fathers, you need to be the guy. And if you, and by the way, the fact that you're here this morning is a big deal. Thank you. And God wants the fathers to do the best they can. It just seems in our society, we just almost assume that father is supposed to be an irresponsible video game playing, you know, always with his buddies, out hanging out, kind of just checking in, and mom and the children run everything. That's not how it should be. Okay, by the way, don't fall for that lie. Your children want you to be a part of their life. And so I encourage you this morning to do that. Turn over to Luke. I want to look at a father and give you a couple principles from a father that did a good job in a very difficult time. The prodigal son's father. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. As you're turning there, he had two sons. One of the sons was a faithful, good son that just hung in there and did what his dad wanted. The younger son had a desire to leave the family, to leave the family business, to go off and do his own thing. He came to his father and demanded his inheritance, and the father gave it to him right there. And he goes off and he messes up. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Look down in verse 17. Things don't go well for him, and he spends everything that he has. And now he's eating with pigs. And he's working in a slop place with the pigs and just eating the leftovers. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, least he did, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You see, this father was a good father. He was a big deal. And even though the son struggled, and even though the son made some bad decisions, when hard times came, he knew the type of person his father was, and he went home. Now, this father had a couple qualities I want to encourage us to have as fathers today. So let me give them to you. I want you to notice this. First of all, he was an example. See, when the son thought back to his father as he's sitting there in the slop with the pigs, eating the leftovers, he thought, and by the way, if you read it, this is probably the kind of guy you would want to work for. He said, listen, my father's servants are well taken care of. And here I am eating slop. My father is good to them. And that alone was enough to prompt him to make the journey back to his father because he saw how his father treated people well. Let me say this, fathers, we are the example. We're the example. Your children, believe it or not, want to be like you. Now, that's a scary thought in some cases, right? The other day, Thursday night, I was sitting out here with Brother Montgomery, and we were greeting people. He was greeting people. I was just hanging out. And Brother Paul Navarro and his sons were coming up to church. And Brother Paul's the maintenance guy. He does a lot of stuff down here. Great guy, great worker. But he has a key to everything in the building. So you know how the keys are hanging there with all the keys? And so here comes little Paul, and he comes running up to me. He had some keys hanging off of his purse. He's just like his dad. he had some keys off of his belt. And he ran up to me and said, look it, I have keys just like my dad. Now, I know where those keys are. Those keys are old keys that don't go to anything. But he probably said, Dad, you have keys. I want keys. And he gave him keys. Now, is that going to change his life? Probably not. And I hope he doesn't have the key to my office. But I'll tell you something. That's just kind of inbred in children. Now, I remember my mom and my dad, they split up when I was about 5. I remember as a little boy, though, my dad had his own business and he managed properties. And I remember as a 4-year-old, he would take me to work with him sometimes. And my dad would wear, he wore wingtips. I used to call them, he called them Volkswagen shoes. You know what wingtips are, the little, and the Volkswagen? So, and I remember when I go with him, I'm like, Dad, I need Volkswagen shoes. Why did I want Volkswagen shoes? Because I wanted to be like my dad. Now, I will say this, too. Be careful what you say around your children. I remember one time he was going to collect a rent, and he kind of mumbled out of his breath. He goes, man, I hope this deadbeat pays his rent. And he knocked on the door, and I said, hey, are you going to pay your rent? So just kind of be careful there what you say. But listen, children, they need that example. You say, oh, my wife is faithful to church. My wife is the one that's done the spiritual thing. I do the dad thing. Hey, thank you for doing the dad thing. But the best dad thing you can do is set the spiritual example. You don't have to walk on water either. Okay, you just need to be going forward and give your children that example. If a good example can help them, a bad example can be even worse. I heard a story this week that was amazing. I was listening to some messages preparing for our family series, and I heard about Karl Marx. Karl Marx was a Jew who's considered the father of socialism, the father of communism. He was in a Jewish family, and his family was faithful to the synagogue when he was younger and growing up. They moved, I believe they may have moved into London, if I'm not mistaken, and when they moved, his dad came and said, we're going to start going to a Protestant church. It was a Presbyterian church. And here's what he told his kids. He goes, because I can get better business contacts there. And Karl Marx said that was one of the things that turned him off to religion. Said, it must not be a big deal to my dad if he would change just because it's better for his business. Now, maybe that wouldn't have made a difference in the overall scheme of his life. I'm not sure. But listen, fathers, let's be the example. Your children are watching you. One more before we move on. years ago when I was in high school, I got a job on Atlantic. I was working at a bedroom store. We sold furniture, and so I would go there. They would leave, and I ran the store and sold the furniture. There wasn't a lot of customers that come in, so one Saturday I was working. I was watching an old baseball game. This was probably late 70s. And I was watching a baseball game. I'll never forget this. They were interviewing a player before the game. I wasn't even a Christian then, I don't think. And they were interviewing a player named Bill Robinson. If you're an old schooler, you might remember him. He was a third baseman for the Pirates. He was having a really good year. And I remember the announcer was just interviewing him before the games. Obviously, the Pirates must have been playing. And he said, you know, you're having a great year. People are starting to call you a superstar. Do you consider yourself a superstar? And he said, no, I don't consider myself a superstar. He goes, I consider my father a superstar because he went off to work every day so we could have food on the table, a roof over our head, and clothes on our back. That's a powerful example. And so, fathers, the children are watching you. Let's be the example that we need to be. I also want you to know that he was always available. Verse 18, he goes, I will arise and go to my father. He knew his father well enough to know that that door was always open. Even though he had disappointed his father, even though he had wasted the inheritance that his father had given to him, which was probably quite hefty, even though he had really, in essence, in a sense, spit on his father, all that his father had put for him and worked for him, he knew that that was not enough to keep his father from receiving him. He knew his father was available. And let me say this, we as fathers need to be available. Child rearing is not a mother thing. You need to get that out of your mind. Well, I just go do my man things. And by the way, do your man things. But not to the loss of your family. If you're more, I'm trying to be encouraging here, so but don't take this in the spirit which it's given, because I'm sure many of you aren't like that. But if you're more interested in your video games, if you're more interested in your friends, if you're more interested sometimes even in your work, and I'm all for working and working hard and doing what you got to do, over your family and over your spouse, you know what you're, believe it or not, they just want you. You may not get that. By the way, so, well, sometimes they get frustrated. They want to be around you. They want you there. They want you to do things for them. When they have a game, they want you to watch their game. You say, well, my kids aren't very good. Well, according to Stephen, put them in our school and they'll be starters. By the way, if Stephen wasn't a good basketball player, that's not my fault. I could play. I could prove it, too. Said the guy with the Social Security with two digits. Yeah. Listen, be there for your children. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. If I've heard it once, I've heard it many times, and those of you who have been around here for a while, you'll remember, Pastor's family was a lot like mine with the relationship with the mom and dad, but I've heard him say it on several times. He said that probably he was one of the closest in the family to his father because he remembers when he was a child, his dad went to every one of his games. His dad was always there. Listen, let's be there for our children. Be available. Oh, they're in some school play. Listen, I know. They probably have one line, and they're probably going to say it backwards. But you know what? By the way, you know what? The little ones come up here. We had a couple plays for the children at the end of the school year. And when they, or Patch the Pirate or Pee-wee, when they come in, you know what they do? You know it. They look. The little ones will come in like, it's like, I want to make sure my family sees me. You say, well, I don't want to give that kind of time. You shouldn't have had a child. You know, listen, anybody can make a child. Animals do that. But not everybody can act like a father. That's a choice. You say, well, you know, I would never tell my child, but it was a bit of an accident. It's a good accident. And it's not an accident. It wasn't God's plan. But guess what? Good. You have the responsibility. Let's be available. I remember when I was in college, and I don't think the men meant to be like this, but I'd hear men preach in chapel. We would have different pastors come into our chapel every day, and they would preach, and they're preparing us, you know, if we're going to be pastors or be in the ministry. And they would always preach about it, and they'd talk, it's a lot of work and all these hours, and I don't see my family all the time and all this. And I know what they're trying to say. I think they were going overboard. And I would hear people actually, not in a bad way, and I'm not trying to be negative here, almost brag like they never saw their family. And I remember just as I wasn't even married or dating or anything, and I'm like, I won't be like that. My family will not have an absentee father. If I'm going to have children, I may not be the best father. Thank you for no amens. Now, I am one of the best looking. No thank you for no amens there. At least you could have raised your hand, hon. That would have been great. You know, but listen, I can be there. I can be around. They can say, hey, Dad was there to the best of his ability. You know, they may not always agree with them, but you know what? You can be there. And then I want to say this, and I'll finish with this one. He was proactively caring. He was proactively caring. What do I mean? The son comes back. He has this prepared speech. Okay, listen, let me say what I'm going to tell my dad. Okay, I messed up. I'm really not worthy to be your son. Why don't you just let me be one of your hired servants? So he's got this whole speech in his mind, and the whole time he's going home, I got this down. I know exactly what I'm going to tell him. I'm sure he was nervous. He let his dad down, and he goes in there, and he sees his dad and says, and first of all, when the dad saw him, he did something that in that culture they did not do. The dad got up and ran to the son. That was just something that was not cultural. And he got up and ran to his son. And then the son gives him a little speech. I messed up. Not worthy to be your son. I'd rather just be one of your hired servants. Blah, blah, blah. And his dad says, it's party time. He didn't even say, that's fine. He goes, hey, get the fatted calf. The party's on. My son, which was lost, is found again. Listen, he cared about that child. That's all they want. They want to know that we care about them. And by the way, caring is not just words. Caring is actions. Just showing them. I'm not affectionate. But you don't have to be overly affectionate. I know some dads are, they'll cry with their kids. I'm not a real crier. I'm not. But your kids know if you care. They'll know. Tell them you love them. The little ones. Tuck them. Whatever it is, they just want to know that you're there. See, fathers, you say, this is all simple. Can I just tell you something? It doesn't take a lot. Right. Now, the spiritual is important. I'm not bypassing the spiritual. Because I think if you're going to be there for your kids and care for them, you'll be with them in church. Don't just send them to church with mommy and not be here. Don't just say, that's for me. Now, you guys do the church thing because that's good for you, but I'll be fine. And I worked on a bus around Chicago. We had some parents, it was different there because we'd pick their kids up at 9 in the morning. They got home 4 or 5 in the afternoon. We were taking them like 45 miles. They're like, hey, baby, settings, harvest. Now they would say, oh, yeah, I want to learn the Bible. And I'm thinking, what about you? Okay? It doesn't take much. Because of that relationship, the children are there for you. The question is, are we going to listen to what our society tells us? Are we going to follow God's plan? Fathers, I hope you understand this morning. One of the things we're going to push Father's Day, we never really pushed it real big, it's because you are a big deal. Whether or not your children turn out, primarily it's because of you. Stepping in and being there for them and being a force in their life. And I hope that you'll do that. And by the way, let me say this. It comes with a lot of blessing. It's not easy sometimes, you know, the children, all this. In our house, we have a bunch of kids. And now we have grandkids. And there's always, you know what? It's a blessing. As you get older, you'll even reap more of the fruit. I'm just telling you, take your job seriously, fathers. You know, I always said, and I'm joking, if my wife and I had a horrible relationship, we don't. Listen, I would stay in that relationship just to be there with my family, with my kids. I want to be in their life. Now we don't, because that wouldn't help the kids very much anyhow. But I'm just saying, I want to be there. Fathers, don't just be someone who had a baby. Be someone who's a father. Amen. That's a verb. Yes. and your children love you, and they want to have that with you. And if you put that effort in on your part, it's well worth it. And it's just our responsibility. He didn't say Elijah. He said, Elijah's coming to help the mothers. He said, no, the father's heart needs to be turned to the children, so the children's heart will be turned to the father's. Let's take our responsibility seriously today. Let's pray.